up your hands and worship.
There you go.
Clap your hands and worship the Lord. Oh, oh, oh. Father, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. Now God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. Yes, give us a receptive heart, the strength to walk this word out. God, if there is anything in us that is not of you, go ahead and yank it out. In Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen and amen. Who clap your hands. Come on, stay resting on your feet. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Stay resting on your feet. Open the scriptures to Matthew 20. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 20. We've been working our way through text. Let's begin at verse 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink?" They said to him, "We're able." Lying. Lying. He said to them, "My cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and on my left, that's not mine to give. But it is for those whom it has been prepared by my Father." Hearing this, the 10 became indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It's not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Go ahead and take your seat. Just say to the person next to you, "Let's check our heart." That's the wrong person. Turn somebody up. Say, "Let's check our heart." Now, contextually, Tabernacle, this passage is unique. I know that I have been through it, read it before. And I don't know why. I know all of y'all always knew exactly everything going on in the text. But Reverend Allen, I somehow had missed. Now, I know all of y'all had it. See, I don't like when preachers get up and, you know, act like y'all didn't see it. I had never seen. All y'all saw it. I never saw it. I said, now wait 1 minute. This is James and John. And James John's mama is acting crazy. Y'all, hello? Y'all didn't read that? The mother, verse 20, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. That's James and John. Peter, James, and John. That's their mama. She should know him better. Ain't no way in the world that she should have come before Jesus and had this conversation. But she comes before Jesus, and she decides that she's going to ask Jesus to give her sons, 2 out of the 12 disciples, special seats in heaven. Put one on the left side and put one on the right. Now, there's a couple of things that I want to bring your attention to. First, we already see we got a problem because I just don't even know why she asked this question. But it gets worse than that. It actually says, he look how he responds. She's making a request. Verse 21, he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, command. Stop. Wait. She talking real reckless. What would you like? She should have said something like, Master, Rabbi, O thou son of David. Anything but command. Y'all still ain't caught it. Maybe y'all's mama wasn't like mine. I wasn't gonna command Shirley Lyons to do nothing. Command. I wouldn't, come on, maybe y'all could give y'all's parents orders. I know it's 2024. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to walk up to my parents and tell them what to do. And still have teeth, Deacon Scott. I heard you. Deacon Scott said, I'm not going to have teeth if I do that. She walks up to Jesus. She says, I have a request. He's very kind. What would you wish? She responds, command. It is sad when the Lord asks what you want and all that comes out of your mouth is selfish. Okay. Good morning. How in the world Jesus gonna ask her a question and her response is not even, Lord, allow me to have strength to do your will. Lord, give my boys courage as they walk with you in this very harsh walk that you walk. Lord, allow me to be a better disciple, a believer, or a follower of Jesus Christ. Lord, help somebody that I come in touch with to see that you're with me and that you've always. No, that's not what she said. She said, look, all that aside, put one boy on the left and one boy on the right. I would argue that that's how some of us pray. When the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, the model that he gave them was, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, the model prayer begins with acknowledgement. I know who I'm talking to. And then quickly moves from acknowledgement to posture. Explain. Hallowed be thy name. You're holy. First of all, you're God. Second of all, you're holy. And what embedded within hallowed be your name is you're holy and I'm not. You can't pray if you think you on God's level. You're not ready to talk to God if you think you and God are seeing eye to eye. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so I bring all of that to bear in this text because here it is. You have a woman who's been walking. This is Matthew chapter 20. This woman's been walking with Jesus for a long time. And clearly, she still don't know who she walking with. Because she commanding stuff. And she stands up. And it's sad, saints of God, when we have an opportunity to make a request or to ask God a question, and all we can think about is, give me some more money, God. I need some more money. I need a raise. That's all you got. You in the presence of the divine, and all you can do is give me some more money. Get my enemies. Tear my enemies up, God. Whoop them real good in my face so I can see it. Huh? Thank you. Thank you. And it's sad. And here's the issue. That's a heart problem. It's a heart problem when you have an opportunity to talk to God where you could just spend time with him and say, Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for starting me on my way. Lord, you didn't have to do it, but you did. You thought enough of me to allow me to make it to your house, as the saints would say, one more time. Thank you, God. Huh? I remember the old deacons used to say that my bed didn't become my cooling board. Thank you, Lord. You've done more than I deserve. You've been better to me than I can be to myself. Now, this is how you talk to God. Oh, but no. We come before God and get to commanding stuff. Lord, do this. Do that. Go to the hospital. Who are you talking to? Who you sending on an errand mission? Lord, go to the hospital. Lord, go to the prison. Lord, go to the nursing home. You go do it, God. He says, first of all, the Great Commission said, go ye. I've already done all my going. But it's a heart issue. It's a problem when our hearts have become so darkened that all we can think about is ourselves. Jesus is literally on his way to the cross. He's already told the people, Reverend Easton, I'm going to die soon. He's already said it's going to be a brutal death. And all she can think about is, make sure you got a seat for my boys. This is a heart problem. It is like when we come to church, not to worship God, but to get our fix. I sure hope they sing my song. I've been waiting on them to sing that one song. I sure hope that the preacher preached my favorite verse today. I love to hear Reverend pray. I hope he pray his good prayer today. Wait a minute. When do we come to worship the Lord? I hope Sister So-and-so is there. When she's there, it does my heart good. Wait a minute. When do we come and say, Lord, what shall I render? Or do we come before the Lord and say, Lord, we're here today. I got some commands for you. Preach my sermon. Sing my song. Pray my prayer. And then let me leave satisfied. It's sad when we find ourselves in a place where we can talk to God and we ask foolishness. Solomon had this opportunity, and Solomon said, just give me wisdom. Some of us, our prayer needs to be, Lord, thank you for even listening to me. Could you please give me some good sense? Forgive me, Lord. Fix me up. Get me right. Give me a willing heart. Give me a willing mind. But the question revealed the heart. Let's go further. Sometimes the Lord will put you in positions that reveal the truth about you. Because watch this. Write this down for those of y'all taking notes. Trouble tells the truth. I'll do it again. Trouble tells the truth. I'll say it one more third time. Trouble tells the truth. See, you don't know who you really are until trouble comes out. Seriously, In psychological terms, you have the fight or flight syndrome. It is what happens to one when they encounter the bad man in the dark alley. Do you fight or do you run? Fight or flight. In recent years, they have added another: fight, flight, freeze. So when the trouble comes, do I fight back? Do I run away? Or do I engage in a paralysis where I'm unable to do either? Spiritually, when the enemy tries to attack you, when the enemy tries to come at your children, when the enemy tries to come at your grandchildren, what do you do? Do you fight? Do you run? Or do you freeze? How you respond during trouble tells the truth. See, when everything is going fine, we really don't know the truth about you. See, we don't know that you're a giver if you got it to give. You can't tell me you're a giver when you got plenty. Let me see what you do when you ain't got much. You can't tell me that you believe in divine healing and you ain't never been sick. Let sickness hit close to your house and then we'll see what you believe. You don't believe in reconciliation. I don't know that you do until somebody wrongs you. I don't know that you have the spirit of forgiveness in you until somebody does something that needs forgiven. I don't know if you hold grudges. If ain't nobody, you still working? Amen, I got you. Yeah, I don't know if you hold grudges. If ain't nobody ever threw a rock and hid their hand. This woman in our text, people of God, she has an opportunity to ask whatever she wants, and she's selfish. And it speaks to her heart. And many of us, if you just go back and do a 2023 rewind, everything you've been through, it's a heart check. How did you respond when people didn't do right by you? But here's a bigger question. How did you respond when you had an opportunity to talk to God? Command. That word gets under my skin. I think about the time that my mother sent me out to sweep the porch. Yeah, I never swept the porch. She told me to go sweep the front porch, Reverend Allen, and I was out there and I didn't want to. So I was mumbling under my breath. We had one of those screen doors that was metal that you could see through. It was hot, and she had took the screen out. And I'm grumbling about how I didn't want to sweep the porch. And I looked up from my angry sweeping and saw my mama, and she commenced to engaging the screen door with my face. She took that screen door and in one fell swoop, pow, she popped me. I stopped all that grumbling, changed my whole tune. Now, what does this show about me is, little young whippersnapper, it showed that even though I was doing what she asked, I didn't want to. Come on, we're going to keep working today. I didn't want to do it. So watch this. The punishment, Deacon Johnson, that I underwent was not because I wasn't doing it. It was because I was doing it with the wrong heart. Okay. She did not punish me because I wasn't sweeping the porch. I'm sweeping the porch. The punishment was because I was sweeping the porch with the wrong heart, which means, people of God, it is possible to be engaged in spiritual activity, but God not be pleased. It is possible to show up and be a member of something and God say, but your heart is wrong. Yeah. She's in the presence of Jesus with a wrong heart. And many of us have the opportunity to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise every week. And we do so with the wrong heart. So when the song happens and it's time for fellowship of praise, you stood, but you didn't want to. Where is your heart? When you speak to that brother or that sister, do you want to? Oh, it's quiet in here today. It's quiet in the sanctuary of God. Huh? Hey, sis. God's like, oh, no. Keep that little fake hey. That's fake. Hold that. Suck them words. Well, it's better for me to say it than for me to not. No. That's not the way the Bible works. God does not look at man as we look at man, judging on the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. So she understood. When she used the word command, let's go one step further. She uses the word command, which means that she understands that Jesus has authority. But she wants the Lord to use his authority for the wrong reasons, like many of us do. Lord, you got authority, but I want you to use your authority for my benefit. Huh? Lord, I ain't done nothing I'm supposed to do. Bless me anyway, because you can. We got to check our hearts. Now in verse 23, look at how he responds. That's verse 22. Let's look at verse 22. Jesus answered, first of all, I added the first of all. It felt better. You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? They said to him, we're able. Y'all lying. And we know they lying because here in just a minute, when he goes to the judgment hall, they gonna run and hide. And the only people, oh, I'm gonna get in trouble. Let's get in trouble together. And the only people who seen the role with Jesus was the women. Testing. Huh? Because all the brothers, all the 12, they was like, too hot for me. We ain't going with you, Jesus. Meanwhile, Mary, his mother, and Mary Magdalene is at the, can you imagine watching your son die? Oh, y'all not in here. Imagine this. She's sitting there watching them rip the flesh off of his bones. She's watching it. And the very people who have been with him, and he has fed them, and he has clothed them, and he's been there for them, hid. And so he says, y'all can't handle this cup. And he was right. Let me go one step further. Some of us are asking God for positions that our heart ain't ready for. Some of us are praying prayers that your heart ain't ready for. You praying for promotion, amen, and you don't have promotion work ethic. You praying for promotion, and you ain't got promotion get along with people. You don't get along with people. Amen. Promotion can't happen like that. We got to check our heart. Lord, give me more. He was like, now, wait a minute. How you want me to give you more, but you won't give me no more? Come on, saints, check our heart. Lord, I need more. Lord, he was like, I asked you to lift your hands and you told me no. All I wanted was lifted hands. All I asked you to do was surrender. If you're ashamed to honor me before men, come on here. I'll be ashamed to honor you before my Father. All I asked you to do is lift your hands. And you said, we in public. You sinned in public. Oh, we don't like this sermon, huh? Come on. I don't have nobody in here willing to admit that you were sinking. Come on now. Some of y'all was great sinners. Do I have anybody in here that's willing to admit that you used to sin professionally? Come on in here, huh? You was great at sin. Do I have any proficient folks? I mean, proficient, huh? You didn't do it in private? Come on now. If there was a party,
going on in undergrad. Oh, Jesus. When I was in my undergraduate degree, huh? If there was a party at the fraternity house, I was there first. I was there. Yes, I was. And when the music began to play, I was on the floor cutting a rug. See, y'all looking at me real funny. You like, he's a preacher. He's not supposed to cut a rug. That's all right. That's all right. The reason that I'm so radical for Jesus is because I was radical for the devil. See, I ain't always been right. See, I understand. I was in church, but I was just at church, but I wasn't in it. See, I knew all of that stuff. I was playing around with God. I had to have an encounter for myself. Huh? 3:30 in the morning on a Thursday, in 1998, the Lord was like, you're going to keep playing, and I'm going to show you who I am. I was playing with God. Now, ain't none of y'all ever played with God, but I was. I was playing with God, and God had to get me together. He had to show me, listen, I'm a very present help, but I got standards. And I had to come out of darkness into the marvelous light. And here it is. This lady had the opportunity to speak to that same loving, caring, honorable God. And all that she can muster out of her mouth is, give my boys a special seat. That's it. I've been through too much. That's why that song is doing something to me. I've been through too much. You mean to tell me I don't need no special seat? I just want to get in. I want to hear, serve it. Well done. This lady in here talking about special seats. First of all, I'm grateful that you even talk to me, Lord Jesus. I'm grateful that you hear my prayer. Thank you, Lord. Some of us in here, if we're truth and honest about it, God, listen, you done enough for him never to talk to you, but he loves you so much. What a mighty God we serve. His love is amazing. His grace is amazing. His mercy is amazing because we don't deserve it. And we asking for special seats. Special seats. Man, I just, Lord, look, I don't care what section I'm in. Put me in the nosebleeds. See, y'all play too much. Put me in the nosebleeds, coach. Yeah, I hear you. Put me in. You mean to tell me that I'm going to complain about being in the presence of the angels who cry, holy, holy, holy? And if we really want to get down to where the tire meets the road, Reverend Jackson, she's asking for a seat in heaven for her boys. Who you talking to? Command that one boy on your left and one boy on your right. And if we really get down to where the tire meets the road, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Wait a minute. And so if the Father is sitting in that seat, and Jesus is sitting to the right hand of the Father, and she's talking to Jesus, and she wants one boy to be on the left and another to be on the right, so you want one of your boys who cantankerous, don't do right, to sit in God's seat? Who are you talking to? Yeah, they missed what I said. If Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, and if the Father is sitting here, that means she wanted somebody to sit at the left of Jesus. Jesus is already sitting to the right of the Father. So sitting at the left of Jesus would have put one of her sons in the Father's seat. Who are you talking to? He says, I can't do it. You ain't ready for this cup. And then in verse 24, almost through. I've been up here a few minutes. Y'all right? Verse 24. Look at this. Hearing this, the 10 became indignant with the two brothers. Wait a minute. Why didn't y'all check them before they got to talking?
Secondarily, why y'all mad at the brothers? The mama asked. Oh, it's quiet in here. It's amazing how we direct our anger toward the people who we think we can get it off with. Them brothers were sitting there just as silent, but here it is. The 10 directs their anger toward the brother. Many of you are directing your anger towards people who you think that you got enough strength to get over on, as opposed to being honest. See, I tell people all the time, I got one adversary, only one, the devil. Yep, I ain't mad at nobody but him. That's it. That's the only person I'm frustrated with. I ain't mad at nobody else. And my Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I believe Ephesians. I wrestle against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's what I'm wrestling against. So I ain't mad at nobody. Nope, not gonna do it. And some of us need too much to be mad at anybody too. I told y'all that last week, and I'm gonna keep saying it until we quit holding grudges and go ahead and forgive. I'm going to keep saying it until we check our heart and be like, first of all, if I'm going to be mad at anybody, I got to be mad at myself. It's me, it's me, it's me. If I'm going to get frustrated with anybody, I'm the one putting myself in some of these situations that I'm asking God to get me out of. They mad at the brothers. Is this us? Are we mad at people who we shouldn't be mad at? Come on, let's check our hearts on this great gospel morning. We mad at people we shouldn't be mad at. Huh? I heard you, Reverend. Well, some of us is like, well, people I love is mad at them. Oh, boy. So I should be mad at them because the people I love is mad at them. Well, what if the people you love is wrong? Huh? So you mean to tell me that if somebody I love is mad at God, I'm going to be mad at God because they are? I ain't getting in trouble with God over them. So in verse 24, they get mad. Look at 25. Jesus called them to himself and said, listen, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. Now stop. This verse is very important. Because Jesus, he loves them so much, he's actually justifying the crazy question. Because Jesus is basically saying, look, don't get too mad. The only reason that they want special seats is because the only version of the kingdom they know is the version they see. Y'all missed it. He said the people down here got special seats. They want special seats because they think I operate like they operate. See, many of us are going to hate heaven. Oh, come on. We're going to really have a problem with heaven. First of all, we get concerned about how long church lasts. When we going to get out? We're going to have a problem with heaven, Reverend Jackson. We don't get out. How you concerned? Like, come on, church. We got to hurry up. Hurry up and get out of church. When we going to get out of church? When we take breaks in heaven? There are angels around the throne 24/7, 365. And watch this. The whole concept of time is actually a human construct. There is no time there. We just exist. They crying, holy, holy. Watch this. There's no set list. It ain't a bunch of songs. It's only one song. Holy, holy. We gonna have a problem in heaven. Like, can they move on to the next song? This is the song he wants to hear. He runs the jukebox. It ain't about us. We gonna get to heaven and figure out it ain't about us. It ain't about what we want to hear. Y'all, excuse me. It ain't about how we want to feel that day. It ain't about what text we want to take. Oh, it's all about him. It's about what he wants to hear. It's about what makes him feel worshiped. It's about what makes him feel adored. And so all of the time, it's all about God, what do you want? And if we would start modeling heaven on earth. As a matter of fact, when he teaches us to pray, I started it earlier. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is. Uh-oh. In earth as it is. Oh, God. In earth. So you mean my prayer should be that heaven and earth match? Earth should look like heaven.
all the time. And the closer that we get to it should be when we're in worship with the saints of God. Ain't no way in the world that the church should look like the world. Oh, it's quiet in here. When we come in here, we should be close to the way it looks in heaven. That means there should be order in God's house. There should be worship in God's house. There should be adoration in God's house. We should be able to come in God's house and sing together. There should be community in God's house and love in God's house and protection in God's house. Should nobody feel afraid in God's house? Everybody should feel like they are cared for in God's house. But this woman, on the other hand, she looking for special seats in God's house. Right, she want a VIP section. Quiet as it's kept. I know some churches that got some of those. You know, if you got enough money and go to the right church, you come in a special door, and they sit you in the VIP section. It's your own security detail so nobody can see you because you so special that you can't worship with us. VIP worship section. I guess in a minute we're going to start building churches that got boxes in them, you know, like NBA stadiums. And we're going to look up to the rafters and see all of the celebrities in the box. Huh? We're going to hate heaven when it don't matter what your title is. When don't nobody care where you went to school. Oh, yes. When don't nobody care what your GPA was, huh? Whether or not you was first in the class or last in the class, it don't make no difference. I was listening to the theologian R.C. Sproul the other day, and he was talking about the immutability of God. And he began in talking about the immutability. He says, I just want everybody to know that of my class, I graduated nowhere near the top 10%. This is R.C. Sproul. It's a phenomenal theologian. Whether or not you agree or disagree, that's irrelevant. But he's written tons of works. He says, you know, I graduated 157th in my class out of 158. Sounds, and it's sad that somebody wouldn't have followed him. Somebody wouldn't have followed him because, oh, you're not smart enough. Well, we wouldn't have followed Paul neither. We wouldn't have followed Paul because his record is too bad. We wouldn't have followed Moses because he had a warrant out in Egypt. We wouldn't have followed David because he wasn't supposed to get the position. We wouldn't have followed, oh, y'all not in here? There's a whole lot of people in the scripture we wouldn't have followed. We wouldn't have followed Matthew nowhere. We can't read his stuff because after all, he was hated. We can't follow none of these guys, but God don't use people like that. God uses people who he wants to use. God deals with people who he wants to deal with, and sometimes your past makes it a little bit better because you ain't scared of some stuff. Sometimes it's some people who done been through some muck and some mire that God will use because you almost lost your life at the bootleg joint, and now you're not afraid to go back in there and tell somebody about a risen Savior. Come on now, God will use some people that some people will overlook because we're looking for people to be cleaned up. God is looking for people who are useful, and yet and still in our text, y'all, excuse me, we got a woman looking for professional and personal seats. Seats! He like, I ain't doing it. And he says, listen, the reason she wants seats is because this is what she's used to. Preachers walk in, got more armor bearers. Walk in the room, you got 50 people want to follow you. You're so important. So important. Got 50 people around you. Everybody can't do nothing for yourself. And in verse 25, he says, that's what the great men do. Look at 26. It's not this way among you, though. It's verse 26. Whoever wishes to be great shall be your servant. Do y'all see that? Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first, verse 27, among you shall be your slave. They didn't like that verse. He says, you want to be great? Serve. you have the heart for that? I'm really about to go to my seat. But do you have the heart to serve when your name's not on the program? To serve when all we need to do is take the trash out. Do you have the heart, or do you point and say, we got somebody to do that? This is our house. You should walk by. Come on now in here. This is our house. When I'm walking around in the home that my wife and my children and we occupy, it's our house. Don't just walk by trash on the floor. And God is saying, listen, the reason that she asked this is because she doesn't understand the way I operate. This is the way that I operate. If you want to be great, serve. I want to know if you're willing to serve when nobody else wants to serve. Serving starts with the heart. Serving starts with the heart. Serving starts with the heart. What you do has to flow from the heart. It can't just be like, I served it, because if it don't start from the heart, you'll tell everybody what you did, but you never wanted to do it. And then you expect everybody to applaud you because you did it, but you should have done it anyway. Huh? It's like the whole premise of the modern young people who want allowance for simply cleaning their room. Next, you're going to want allowance for brushing your teeth. You're going to want allowance for showering. And that's how we are in the church. He says, you want to be great? Serve. As a matter of fact, I'll give this, and I'm going to close. When he says, whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. That word servant there, diakonos. You want to be great? Be a deacon. That's the word. You want to be great? Be a deacon. Diakonos. Now, the problem is that we have reserved, Reverend Jackson, our understanding of the diaconate to these men. When the truth is that to be a deacon is to be one that serves at the behest of another. To be one that is willing to, watch this, have a towel before they got a title. To be one who is willing not to be grand, but to be behind the scenes. If I got to give you a title before you serve, then you don't deserve the title at all. You got to be willing to say, listen, I'm undercover. I don't need nobody to do nothing for me. I'm willing to do it just because I'm serving at the behest of another. And that's a heart issue. If you got to be the president of the committee before you work the committee, we don't need you on the committee. If you got, if you got to be the chairman before you work, then you don't need the chair. See, the reality is it in your heart? Several months ago, I'll say this and I'm done. Dr. Bougie preached a message. She was talking about David. And David made a mistake, Reverend Eason. It was a pretty bad one. Slept with Bathsheba and had her husband killed. Prophet goes to David, brings awareness. Nathan brings awareness. Said, hey, you the man. David responded with this psalm. Create in me. A clean heart. And renew a right spirit. That if you go study that psalm, that is the psalm of David when confronted by the prophet Nathan. His prayer to God was, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. By the time you get to the end, he says, then I'll get to ministering again. That's what David said. Don't you put me up to do no ministry until I get my heart right. Many of you need to pray a similar prayer. Lord, hide me till I get together. Because if I get out there right now with the heart that I got, I'm going to hurt somebody. Lord, forgive me for having a raggedy heart, for always wanting to get people back. Some of y'all need to pray that prayer. I'm not praying that prayer. That's fine. Don't pray it. You ain't, don't pray it. But David was king praying that prayer. He was full king. So I want everybody in this room, if you're like, you know what? I do need to get my heart right. I do need to get myself together. First, I want us, if there's anybody that needs to make a decision to come to Christ, become saved, give your life to Jesus, this is your moment. But then we're going to pray. But I just want everybody just in a minute to sit in this moment. I know I've taken a little longer than normal, but that's all right. I need to sit in this moment because some of us like, Lord, get my heart right. Give me a clean heart so I may serve thee. Lord, fix my heart so that I may be used by thee, for I'm not worthy. Standing to your feet. Give me a prayer, come.